You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us this week. I am thrilled and excited as we're interviewing Polly, who comes from a brand that I have frequented. You've probably frequented it as well, especially over the holidays and maybe this past year. It's become even more important to you in your life as Polly comes from Best Buy. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks very much, Darren. I'm pleased to be here.
So the joy and adventure of getting to work at Best Buy, how did that journey happen and what was the kind of the stages along the way?
Well, I'm really lucky. I moved to Vancouver 3 years ago. Okay. I actually moved from Los Angeles. Maybe I'll go backwards in my career path. Mm. And when I moved here, it was a personal move. It was, you know, okay. Based on my family. And but I really enjoyed working for big Fortune 100 companies when I was in the US. So I really wanted to work for another big company. And Vancouver is certainly a lifestyle place, but not a center for enormous headquarters. So every big company is here, but they tend to have portions and different departments, but not all departments. And then I got approached by a headhunter, and they said, it's a Fortune 100 company with a headquarters in Vancouver, but I can't tell you who it is. And I was like, well, there is only one, so it must be Best Buy. And so then I had the conversation and just really enjoyed meeting everyone at Best Buy. It's an enormous company, but a very familial company. So even meeting everyone, I immediately could feel that everyone wanted each other to do well, that it was the culture there was great, really positive. And so I was very happy to accept the job. But I guess my pathway, I started out in the music industry. So I worked for Sony Music, was my first corporate job, and that was in London. And my goodness, that's an amazing start to a career, because if there's ever a time to be in the music industry, it's when you're in your 20s. It's when you can have the most fun. It was such an interesting time, because it was when the whole music industry was turning digital. So it was when Apple Music was starting to sell singles. And at the time, the music industry had no idea how to deal with it. Instead of embracing it first, the whole industry was against it. You know, artists were concerned
Napster?
About it. Yes, the Napster.
The little yeah. cat, right? And then LimeWire, if you remember that one.
And they were
so against them, right? They were like, you are the worst.
Yeah, and there was lots of court cases at that time. And then I guess the industry just realized that it was going to have to adapt. And so that was a really interesting period. Digital marketing was just starting. Social media was just starting. So it was just such a great beginning to a career. There was so much happening. And I guess from that period, I realized that I liked working when an industry was going through change. I enjoyed having to adapt, having to embrace change that was coming. And so since then, all of my career choices have been industries that are going through seismic change. Something's about to happen. It's on the cusp. So being in retail right now was very much an intentional choice, because my goodness, retail is changing. And then at Best Buy, I'm sitting at the precipice of retail and technology. So it's an awesome place to be.
Wow. And being someone in that position and trying to stay on top of the trends and changes and movement and all that stuff, where do you go for whether it's, you know, apps that you use or podcasts or books that you recommend? What are your kind of your go-to kind of places of inspiration or ideas?
Well, I actually, when I hire people, the biggest quality I look for is curiosity. And I think that curiosity lives everywhere and anywhere. So if you love absorbing content, that can be anything from, you know, money talks on NPR to Instagram comments by celebrities. Like literally my reading set is that diverse. My listening set's that diverse. I think Netflix this year have done a terrific job informing us, and because of all the data they have, they know what we want. They're on the pulse of the nation, and they've certainly delivered content that I want at the right times, from Tiger King at the beginning of COVID to COVID Explained, the 30 minute shows that have helped us. And then all the feel good films we've needed towards the end of the year.
I watched Dash and Lily last night. I finally finished it. And I have no shame in admitting it. And it was amazing and beautiful. And I cried in moments. And the Jonas Brothers did a concert even in it, which was very special. So
Yeah, I've enjoyed a lot of that kind of content. Mindy, the show that Mindy Kaling came out in, I guess, in the summer.
Mindy Project.
I love the Mindy Project, but no, she came out with a new show, and it was quite. It was all lead Indian characters, and it was about a young girl growing up. And I don't think I was the target audience. I think I'm probably 10 years too old for it, but I just thought it was a great show. And I think all the way through the year, Netflix have come out with some just shows that we need at the right time. And that's the power of data, right? They know what we need, and they've been preempting it to a certain extent. But just a month after a big event happens, I feel like we're fed a show that gives us more information about that issue or whatever. So yes, I read a lot. I LinkedIn, I get a lot of professional information and ideas from Harvard Business Review. I mean, when I'm getting down to serious stuff, I like the Ideacast, Harvard Business Review. And this year as well, it's been so great. So many free conferences to join. So I have been someone that's made the time to listen to conferences and to join sessions and things. And I think that's been one of the good outcomes of this year.
Yeah, like our whole team every year, we look at Adobe Max and they do this incredible event, and it's so expensive and the travel and the time. But this year, our whole team got to like check in on sessions they wanted to do. And it was an incredible gift from Adobe this year.
Yeah, isn't that great? I had, there was one week this year where it would normally be three trips across Canada. I'd be traveling from Vancouver to Toronto three times, and I'd be spending at least a week away from home. And I managed to do the three events all in 2 days because everything was digital. So yeah, there's definitely some upside of not having to travel so much anymore.
So there's books and there's podcasts. What about brands that you follow and brands that are kind of on trend and that you're loving what they're doing? Who are you following right now?
I think my favorite brand right now, and I think they had a terrific 2020, is Lego. What I love about Lego is that it's something that we all relate to childhood. We had a relationship with the brand from very, very early on. And ultimately, they're still coming out with the same product that they've been coming out with for many years. But Lego is so authentic to its origins. And then it's been adapting and evolving. So in 2020, they've really taken the environment seriously. I know that they had, it came from the kids that they wanted more environmentally friendly, friendly products coming from Lego. But they've been, really testing and trying to find new materials to make, to move Lego forward sustainably. The partnership they did with Adidas, I thought was super cool. When companies do partnerships, to me, what matters is, are they two that sit together, but also add something new when they're put together? So I love that. And then just before Christmas every year, Lego does a weekend when you make something out of Lego, and then they give a Lego set to kids in need. So I think they kind of ticked a lot of boxes for what we were looking for in 2020, which was fun, a bit of creativity, some giving back, and then kind of some nostalgia, some childhood nostalgia. So I love Lego. I think Ben & Jerry's have had an interesting year, particularly in the summer. They do stand up for social justice, and with Ben and Jerry's, I think it would be a fun brand to work for, because what's cooler than making an ice cream to say something important like that? Just, I love that. And again, an authentic brand, it came from Vermont. It's still very, very playful with what it does. I love Disney. I mean, I think most marketers have a place in their heart for Disney. It's been a tough year on the kind of parks side of Disney, but I think that they've come out with some good, and actually, do you know what, animation in general, probably my favorite Christmas movie was the Illumination Studio version of The Grinch, which I thought was fantastic, and of course they're rivals to Disney. I mean, it's been an interesting year, hasn't it, because some brands have really shone and some have gone really quiet as well. And it's been tough for some.
And for you, in a sense, being at Best Buy, anyone who's walked into a Best Buy or been on your website, you hold so many brands. And me even asking you that must have been difficult, being like, who's your favorite kid? And, what kid is performing the best in school? But I feel like you got such a good pulse on what everyone is doing, because you are the house for them all. Are you going there?
Did you notice I didn't mention any technology brands, because they're all our children? So I can't choose any favorites. But I will say that I mean, it's very cool where we sit because we do have, we call them partnerships. They're not just, you know, we don't just buy products for our stores. We really work in partnerships with our brands. So we work on launches together, and we work on creative ideas together. We work on give back ideas together. We talk about sustainability together. So it is very, very cool having, you know, let's face it, the most forward-thinking brands, having conversations with them on a weekly basis.
One thing I learned, and I'm sure other people knew about this already, but I went in, you know, I had a couple things on the agenda that over the break to do, and took my son with me, and we went into Best Buy to pick up some items. And there was an Apple store within Best Buy. It was like this little, this kind of, I don't know, 10 by 10 or 50 by 15 little area, and it had everything I ever wanted. So I didn't have to go to an Apple store as well as Best Buy. It was incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the last few years, as retail's been changing, the customer journey is so multifaceted. There's still a huge role for our stores and for, you know, the experience of touching and feeling products, particularly as technologies become more complicated. And, you know, smart technology is a relatively new concept for most people. So store within a store, Apple, Google, we have a few different actual stores within a store. And then experience sections are just incredible, you know, for all of the brands that we carry. You can listen to things, you can play things, you can touch things, you can try things. And it's really important because as we think about the future for retail, and particularly over the last year and the penetration of online shopping, you have to really evaluate, well, what in a customer journey, how are we meeting them at every stage? So obviously we've invested a ton in our website. This year we've particularly invested in virtual touch points, so how you can connect with store associates virtually or Geek Squad agents virtually. But then our store network, people still want to come in, they want to learn about stuff. And even though a lot of the year stores have been limited in the amount of people they can have or things have been closed for periods, as soon as things have opened up again, we have seen that customers have wanted to come back in and have that store experience. And I personally, I still love browsing stores.
Oh, I feel like it's like a treat for me. My wife teases me because I go into Best Buy and it is like an adult candy shop because you go in and you look at everything and you can, you know, even like buying a mouse, right? Like I 2021 is the year I'm going to start using a mouse because I've just been using my trackpad. And I was like, I got to try, you know, look at them all and see what one is best. And it was like, and then I'm going to go over there and check out the new speakers. And there's new stuff there, right? Which, again, I find if I'm online browsing, I don't notice the new stuff as well. Or I feel like I'm overwhelmed. Whereas at Best Buy, you walk in and you can see all the new things, but you can just experience it one at a time. And physically, and then talk about it with the person. Like my son and I were talking about these new speakers, and then we went over and went to the Apple store and checked out some stuff, and then we were checking out some of the new Google stuff, and it was so cool.
I love hearing you say that. It's the same for my husband on his birthday this year. I said, "What do you want to do?" And he said he wants to walk around Best Buy, which warms my heart and makes me laugh at the same time. But also the idea of going in with your son and discovering technology together, that's a really cool thing, and we see that all the time. And we know that people want to play with this stuff, and that's why the store experience has evolved so much over the last few years. Putting on one of the cool things in the last couple of years, the Bose sunglasses with speakers included. We like trying those on, and we're the same. We try the speakers, and I always come out with a couple of things that we need or don't need. I'll tell you that over Christmas, we installed smart thermostats, which we've been meaning to do all year. We moved into a new house and we've been renovating. Mm-hmm. And they look fantastic. They're, you know, brilliant on so many levels. My only caution is that my husband can now control the heating in the house. I'm working from home. He's working out of the home and he can control the heating from his work. The smart technology you can buy now is just endless.
Oh, it's incredible. And the great thing is the out of Canada, Misa technology for floorboard heaters, and then Nest by Google, which is so cool. So many options.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of different ecosystems. And most of them are interchangeable with the various different apps. So that's great.
Yeah. No, I actually went in there. We realized this past year also part of, you know, you set goals for 2021. We're going to up our audio game. And so we actually went to Best Buy to kind of upgrade our podcast opportunities. And then again, overwhelmed, and especially being online, you can be overwhelmed. But again, guy in a blue shirt comes by. I don't know if you have a name for them, but he came by and he's like, let me help you. And he kind of walked me through all the options. And it was almost like going into, you know, you go into a Home Depot, you know, those in the orange vest, they know what they're talking about. And he was super informed, super helpful, gave us the difference between them all, and then walked us through, oh no, he's like, oh no, you don't want that. You want this over here. And then he found the cord for us. And he's like, oh yeah, you're going to need this as well. Cause that's what I find with online. I'll buy some stuff sometimes and I'll forget to have gotten something.
Right.
And yeah, I felt like I made an informed choice.
Well, and it's about choosing how you want to shop, isn't it? Because sometimes there are times when, you know, you just need to order something, you finish work, you need to order it, get it done, have it come to your house the next day, and that's great. But then there's some days when you just want to hand over the responsibility to someone else. So yeah, asking a blue shirt, this is what I think I want in my head, can you tell me what I actually need? It feels like they're taking over your life admin, which when time is our most valuable commodity, I mean, that's just fantastic. And I have to say, I mean, I know I've visited lots of stores. I get to meet store leaders and store associates all the time. And they are a really just friendly, lovely bunch, so passionate about what they do. They work for Best Buy because they love technology, but also, you know, one of our values is having fun while being the best. And yeah, they're great guys. And I think that comes across when you visit a store.
Totally. My son needed an external hard drive for his new PS. And so we're in there and the guy was like, all right, let me help you figure it out. And he was looking at, because again, same thing. You don't know if you're buying something good or what you're getting. And so we walked through all the options. And then he asked him about, he had all these questions about his PS. And he's like, did you get this yet? Have you tried this? And he walked him over to the PS section and showed him some other things. But he was just doing it because he loved it. And it wasn't to sell something. It was like a lot of things weren't in stock at the moment, right? Over Christmas. But it was such a really cool experience to know that someone was so positive and so helpful and kind of had our best interests.
Well, and do you know what our company purpose is? Enrich life through technology. And this year, it's been more important than ever. With all of us spending more time in our house, having to entertain our families. So people have been upgrading their entertainment systems. There was a big trend for baking. Like, you know, it's been a big deal. People baking bread again. So people have been buying small appliances. And all of these things. For me, for my mum in England, I bought her a digital photo frame, which, remember, they were a big deal 10 years ago, but now they've been upgraded so that I can put photos through an app on her frame in England as I'm doing activities. Cool. So connecting people, that's been a huge theme this year. How can we connect even though we're apart? And we do believe it. You know, we all believe that technology is making our lives better, easier, more fun, more engaging. And so it's kind of easy to go to work when you all feel that collective sense.
Our producer, Travis, was just telling me that he bought his parents a Facebook portal, a little TV screen for Christmas, because my parents are saying when they talk to our kids over FaceTime, it's a bit hard for them, right? And they're having to hold it up or they're where to hold it. Whereas the Facebook portal just kind of tracks their faces and it's so neat. So he was really excited about that. It just helped the parent, you know, the grandparent child connection when they're so distant.
Yeah, absolutely. You can walk around and do things and it's following you around. Some of this stuff is a bit how we imagined in the Jetsons in our childhood. iRobot vacuum cleaners that clean your house without you doing anything, being able to put photos on a photo frame 4,000 miles away, being able to cook while talking to your grandmother in another country, like all this stuff. It just, we're kind of getting to the point where we're realizing some of the cool stuff that people imagined 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Now, speaking of Best Buy as a brand and for you kind of at the helm there, what are you looking at for this next year? What kind of trends are you seeing and what are you excited about for this next year?
Well, lots, actually. I mean, 2020 has been such a fascinating year. And my goodness, if you're studying, people that are studying marketing right now, they've got so much material to look at. I think there's a few things that will have come out of 2020. One is, you know, you've probably heard the talk about the Roaring Twenties. So the Roaring Twenties, when they came around the first time, was because we'd had a period of depression, economic difficulties, that kind of stuff. So we don't know what's going to happen this year yet. But coming out of this pandemic, I do hope that there's a period of exuberance, particularly in marketing. I'd love to see a return of the, you know, more risky marketing, being really creative. I love that type of stuff. It's what sets my heart on fire. It's why I'm in communications and marketing. So I hope we see some of that stuff, not just at Best Buy, but across the board. Another thing, trend that I think has been really top of mind this year is, well, we've talked about authenticity for probably 5 years, but this year it's really been scrutinized. Like how a brand behaves within the four walls and outside the four walls has been really, really transparent to everyone. So when we think of how the brand is in terms of the environment and sustainability, what does the brand stand for? How has the brand stepped up and helped the community through the pandemic? Cause marketing, I think, is completely involved. I don't think we're talking about cause marketing anymore. I think we're talking about a brand's DNA and how they show up. And I think that that will be a trend for lots of brands. And I think we've certainly talked a lot about it this year, and you'll see more of it in 2021. The third thing I'd say, and again, it's kind of something we've been working on for 5+ years in the industry, personalization. Like the holy grail of having a personalized experience as a consumer. In the last 12 months, because of how the acceleration in our online footprint, in our adoption of technology, there's so much more data about all of us because we've been absorbing content more, we've been shopping online more, we've upgraded smart technology in our homes. All these things, you know, is gathering data about us. So I do think we're going to get to the point in Best Buy and in other companies, lots of companies are working on this, where our experience will become not quite the holy grail of personalization, but we really will be fed what we want to be fed, more so than the last five or so years where everyone's been trying to get totally. There.
My only thing with that, and maybe this is like for people who are single and less involved with their family, is that like I'm messed up because my kids, because I got four kids, my daughters will sometimes use my Netflix account to watch their shows. And then my poor algorithm is all messed up because then it suggests like Paw Patrol to me when I'm like, why are you giving me Paw Patrol suggestions? Or my wife and I, we share a Spotify account or we share an Amazon account. And so it's, but at the same time, I do love it. I'm a huge fan of it. And I want that data. It's just more people like me who mess up the algorithm because we, our kids have access or our wives have access to stuff we do.
Yeah, and I hear you. I mean, we've all had conversations, haven't we, about looking for a partner's present, a gift, and then they're seeing it in their social feeds. And that, I think we can probably get beyond that. But I mean, beyond that kind of stuff, I'm kind of going back to, you said going into Best Buy and the store associate knowing what you wanted, helping you and making that all efficient. It's more that kind of stuff that I think is going to really help us all. Like, I know I want this, but can you tell me all the other things I want, where I can get them from, how fast I can get them? The stuff that really saves you time in life. Because again, going back to that notion that time is our most valuable commodity and technology can solve, you know, a lot of our time crunches. So that's for me where personalization is valuable and important as a consumer. I mean, as a business, it's endless, the possibilities.
It's still human, right? Like it's, you still want the guy at the video store to tell you what movies, you know, if he knows you well enough, which movies to watch, right? It's like, but again, the great thing with Best Buy, again, if you give them the information, they help you personalize what you really need in that shopping experience.
Yeah. And it should be seamless on and offline. That's, you know, where we're trying to head. One thing that fascinates me endlessly and I've been fed just so much in 2020 is consumer behavior and how it changes according to outside impacts. So kind of macro economics, macro scenarios, political landscape, that kind of thing. And 2020 has been such a monumental year for change that I am just fascinated about what we're all going to be like coming out of this pandemic. So are we all going to want to travel immediately because we haven't been able to travel for a year or 18 months by the time? Are we all going to want to travel the world? Or actually, are we going to be a bit gun shy and we're going to think, I want to stay close to home for a couple of years and then go a bit further after that? Are we all going to be sick of our computers and want to go to the office because we need social interaction? Or are we now forever going to be having Zoom meetings and Microsoft Teams meetings? As someone who studied political science and always looked at, okay, how does this event affect something else? I can't wait to see. I mean, I can make lots of predictions, but I can't wait to see the outcome. And I hope that we don't you know, there's not a day and we just all forget that this all happened. I hope we've learned from it, and I hope we've evolved from it, and I hope there's some actual material change that continues.
One thing I found fascinating was what you mentioned was, I thought when our first lockdown, when it opened up again, that hairdressers would be just lineups upon lineups or weeks before you get a haircut. But I think everyone had learned to cut their own hair or embrace the long hairstyle, so that it was actually really easy to get a haircut.
Yeah, isn't that so interesting? Because I think some people had really missed hairdressers, and so they probably had a booking as soon as it opened up. But you're right. I mean, I'd cut my own hair and I didn't have a problem with that. So will I ever spend the hundreds of, I mean, women, not men's haircuts are relatively inexpensive, but women's haircuts are just exorbitant. So will I go back to that? I don't know. I think spa treatments I went back to almost immediately. Like when you think about the concerns with the pandemic, that was one thing that I just felt I needed. I needed some, it was kind of time to relax and to get away from everything that was going on in the world. So I did adopt those. And I think I'll probably be one of the people that will travel as soon as I can, because I used to work for an airline. I was at American Airlines for 5 years and traveled every single week. I was on a couple of flights a week. So adapting from that to normal life, and then now, you know, not traveling at all, I definitely have wanderlust.
Yes. You mentioned a brand, Ben & Jerry's, and kind of the idea of giving back and corporate social responsibility, you know. And so Ben & Jerry's is a B Corp. So they're a registered, they got the little B in the circle, right, which again, what I find for most consumers I talk to have no idea what it is. Most regular people have no clue what B Corp is, which again, I am also a registered B Corp, my company. Okay. And I'm saying this as behalf of someone who's one that 99% of people who I mentioned it to or talk about don't know what it is, which is, yeah. But they're trying to have this agenda of being like, hey, let's give back and let's get you a registered little symbol. But I'm finding organizations that just choose to give back even without the symbol are doing some amazing things. And so Best Buy, I want to talk about you. And I know you've been talking about so many other brands, but what are some things that you guys did in response in this last year as ways of giving back that was helpful in a way that you could say as an organization, where it's not just about us?
Yeah, well, we have a history of giving back for a few reasons. I mean, it is our responsibility as a big organization to support our communities. Also, as a company that's so widespread across Canada and across the US, we do have a philosophy that we genuinely want to support the communities that we live, because we feel like we're an important part of the community. You know, we attract business to the area and that mm-hmm. kind of thing, provide lots of jobs. And so we do want to give back. So this year it wasn't new, but what we did do this year, so typically our giving back is the foundation is education. It's enriching the mm-hmm. education of Canadians in Canada and in the US mm-hmm. of Americans. But this year, it wasn't just kids that needed support learning. Like, they were a huge part of it, and we managed to do some amazing giveaways, providing Chromebooks through the Boys and Girls Club to the kids that needed it most, because, you know, overnight they suddenly had to be educated. Their school was on technology that they may or may not have or be able to afford to buy. So we certainly did tons in education. Mm-hmm. We also, very early on, senior living facilities were one of the hardest hit. You know, there were people that not only were they vulnerable to the virus, they couldn't see their families and they had no way of connecting with their families because they didn't have the technology. So we do quite a lot in the health space anyway. And so we worked with various partners to provide things like Google Nest Home Hub Maxes so that they could talk to their families. Google actually were a great partner. We managed to donate, I think we affected something like 40,000 seniors across the country that couldn't speak to their families and then could. And if you think about quality of life, that, you know, is a huge difference. Then there were even things, and we worked with Conquer COVID right at the beginning of the pandemic, when hospitals just needed technology to communicate with patients because they still didn't quite know how the PPE was working, how contagious the virus was. And so we were donating even things like baby monitors so that doctors could speak to patients without going into isolation rooms. And this, when we go back to that enriching lives through technology, it was so powerful for all of us. We have 12,500 employees in Canada, and getting as many employees as we could involved in these donations, getting the stores to think of ideas in their community where they could give back, whether it was shelters that needed TVs or it was, particular, like frontline families that just needed a boost. It actually became quite a creative exercise for us, and certainly one that got us through those first few months when everything was changing. Our store operations were changing. We didn't know what the world was going to look like. And giving back was really important to all of us, actually. But we'll continue. So we're launching in January. We're opening our first teen tech center in Canada, which is very exciting. So we have, we've been opening them in the US for a few years, but this is our first Canadian one, and it's in Delta, BC. And in [S2] Nice. [S1] A teen tech center, it's a place where predominantly teenagers can go. It's a safe place. They can learn [S2] Mm. [S1] About technology. They can play, you know, they can make music, [S2] Mm. [S1] They can learn photography, all those kind of things. And it's actually really important, because there's a big divide, and it's probably getting bigger, between kids that are going to be completely technology, you know, efficient and knowledgeable, and then those that don't have such good facilities. So we're really excited about the opening of the Teen Tech Center. One thing we had to suspend during COVID is we go into schools and we do these events called Geek Squad Academies, and schools can apply. We go in for a couple of days, we bring in all the coolest technology, and we play with it. We teach kids things, we teach them how to code and various different things. And of course we couldn't do that because schools closed down pretty early on. But we worked on some online content. So when parents, particularly when they were going into the school holidays and they had no idea how they were going to entertain their kids for a period, there were some very cool courses that parents could do with their kids. So that was a bit of adapting to the digital world. But we hope we'll be able to bring back the real life academies at some point. And then we also have the opportunity, we match give various giving opportunities. So all through the year, our employees can give to the charities that matter to them, and then we match it. This has been such a weird year for other things, like, you know, the fires in Australia. We set up a giving opportunity so that our employees could donate there. Certainly in the summer, there was a desire to give to communities that were advancing racial equality and providing money and resources for various different charities for BIPOC communities. And then towards Christmas, it's always about people wanting to give to the things that are really close to their heart. So, yeah, so our giving is multifaceted. It all very, very grounded in technology.
Very, very cool. And just as far as like trend-wise, are you finding like those stories are the ones that get picked up from the communications kind of like PR perspective? And is it also, it's just something that your employees love? Like, is it, what's kind of part of the, you know, it also just what you, responsibility of an organization?
I mean, I think this year, in terms of storytelling, yeah, people have wanted something to make them feel good internally and externally. So there's no question that news outlets, social stories that have been more viral have tended to be the ones that have pulled at your heartstrings. Yeah. A lot of the holiday advertising, I mean, particularly in the UK, holiday advertising is such a big deal that, you know, there's a big launch of all the adverts that come out. They were very emotionally driven this year. So it does provide us with a lot of storytelling. But this year, it's also just been about making employees feel good and doing what we've needed to do.
Wow. And lastly, I just want to know, advice. What's some advice you'd give to brands right now if they're, you know, they're going into this year, and something that you've learned, and just something that you're saying, hey, man, if you're a brand right now, this is just some advice I'd pass on to you as something you can think about.
Yeah, that's such a hard question, because this year we've talked about how you can only really make decisions on like a month-by-month basis. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably just go back to the what have we learned? Like, let's all really try and work out what we've learned. What has this year told us, and how does that shape the future? And then I can't wait to go back to being really creative and not being gun shy. Like, when we get back to normal, of course we should take through all the best things of this year. So the kind of the notion of how can digital expand our reach, you know, what can we get from digital interactions in terms of data and all that kind of stuff. But let's also do some big splashy fun stuff, whether that's fun TV spots, fun experiential. I can't wait to go back to that. So I think the advice is just, what have we learned from this year? What's the good we can take forward? And then what do we just want to abandon and forget about?
I also like that you said it's okay if you just go a month at a time. Don't feel like you need to have the whole year figured out. It's okay to be pivoting almost every month if need be.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I always say that people that particularly that work in agile environments, they think that planning is the enemy of agile. But I'm a person that thinks, have a great plan, you know, plan for 12 months, have really good foundations, really good infrastructure, but just be ready to pivot. To me, pivoting is really fun. Like I think of it as a kind of sports game. You know, maybe I'm kicking a football down the field one way, and soccer ball down the field one way. And it's fun to have to change direction or to have to pass to someone differently. So to my team, I always say, think about that. But having a great plan is fine and a long-term plan, but just always be ready that particularly at the moment, it's going to change. And do you know what? That's one thing that I think coming out of the pandemic, everyone is going to be more agile. Everyone has just got a bit more used to what change feels like. And so I think that that's a real positive that we're going to have all of these, particularly some of the younger marketers and communicators, that it's okay that something doesn't go your way and then you try something new, because my goodness, that's happened so many times this year. So that's an exciting outcome of 2020.
It's been fun actually watching Ryan Reynolds, who hails right here from Vancouver, which we are both here in right now, starting his ad agency, and kind of the ads that they're putting out, again, are just made quick and quick turnarounds, and just the way that they're responding to things have been really cool to watch.
Well, and good on him, because he has such incredible marketing instinct in general. Even when it's just been him on social media, I feel like he's one of the people that is on a trend quicker than anyone else, really gets the sentiment of people that follow him, is risky and playful. I think he's terrific. He does some good stuff for Canada, doesn't he? Supporting Sick Kids Foundation and proud that he's a Canadian.
Yeah, Covenant House. And recently, his latest film, he took a hard agenda to set up where you could virtually interview. So you could do this interview. Well, he actually asked you questions if you were of the BIPOC community. And he made a hard agenda to get more BIPOC people hired for his latest film that he is producing.
Which is very cool. And on that note, I'm part of the committee, the Black North organization, which was created this year. I'm a part of the committee that's to advance opportunities for BIPOC community in media, arts, and culture. And it's such interesting work, and people can reach out and, you know, ask for support and advice in various areas. But one thing that I think this holiday and that's come out of this year is we've seen so much more diversity in advertising, particularly, you know, the big expensive TV spots. And isn't that great that we're actually, advertising is now reflecting the people that live in this country and in the US and around the world. I think that's been another. When I look back on 2020, it's one of those years that you kind of are going to love to hate, because we've learned so much. There's been really material change in some really, really important areas. But then it's felt like it's been a long year. Every day you've kind of come up against challenges, but we've overcome them. So,
You mentioned soccer, aka football, and the great content that's been put out. Have you seen the new Ted Lasso put out by Apple TV?
No, I haven't.
It's probably my favorite feel good show that came out from, like, you know, the many content creators that are putting stuff out at the moment. But Ted Lasso is beautiful. It's about a football, like an actual like football coach from America goes to the UK to coach a soccer, aka football team, and it's amazing. And just all
hang
the
on,
stuff
so a football on coach in America, so he's a coach of soccer in America, or he's a coach of
football.
American
actual football with the brown oval
and then he goes to England to teach soccer. I don't even know how that works, because the two games are so different.
and the show is beautiful, and it's all about like his heart and him like believing in the players and just his intuition, and it's beautifully done. Jason Sudeikis is the main character, and it's incredible.
I'll have to watch that, because I mean, there's been a few occasions of NFL players going to the UK and trying rugby, and rugby players in the UK trying NFL in the US, but I've never heard of interchangeability between soccer and I still call it American football.
Amazing! It's amazing.
It's something I'll never be able to properly get my head around.
Yeah, no, but you'll love the show, because it's the mix of both worlds on one show. And the other one, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's a YouTuber named Mark Rober, who was a NASA scientist, engineer, and now teaches technology to kids. and puts out the most beautiful videos. And every year he even does one for package thieves, and he sets up this like speaker thing that people, he lets someone steal, and then it glitter bombs them and plays.
Oh, I have seen a couple of those. I saw one just before the holidays, the glitter bombs. It's good. Feel good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that he teaches tech along the way, like what, the engineering behind it, and he gives you the specs if you want to download and make your own.
No. Yeah, that's very cool. I'm always open to recommendations.
Polly, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a joy and a thrill, and thank you for sharing so much about your own life and kind of where Best Buy is going and what inspires you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really, really fun. I do genuinely feel like we've just had a coffee together. So that's how it should be, hey?
It's great. No, it's perfect. It's perfect. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this week. And we'll see you next time on Marketing News Canada.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.